Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 4 lines from the top. We see a quote from the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we saw Rabbi Akiva arguing his point against the Chachomim that one who vows not to eat something would be in violation of the vow if he eats even a mere morsel. And the Rabbanan had argued against Rabbi Akiva that we don't find precedent for that. In response, we read the Gemara, Omar Lahen, Heichon Motsinu B'medaber Umevi Korban, Sheze Medaber Umevi Korban. Rabbi Akiva says that, where do you find any precedent anyway for speaking, and the result of the speech is that one is obligated to bring a sacrifice, where, in fact, that is the case over here. So that we have a situation, says Rabbi Akiva, that's unprecedented. And as a result, the violation of the vow could even be with the eating of a mere morsel of a mashehu. So Rabbi Akiva's argument is based on the fact that the issue of vows is itself an unprecedented area. As you scan ahead in the Gemara, of course in our marked Gemaras, the Shas Ozer, which is the basis of our Gemara marking system, you can see we have diamonds. And on the side of our marked Gemara, we see a Nosei Mivne heading. The Nosei is the topic heading with a Mivne, a structural note combined to one note here. The diamond is featured, and it's a sidra, a series shel kushios al hodikotoni, a series of questions on that which was taught in the Mishnah. Heichon motzinu b'medaber umevi korban shezeh shvua medaber imoivir al shvua so umevi korban umeachar delo motzinu, and since we don't find a precedent, toein Rabbi Akiva efshu l'chayev gamal mashu, one can in fact be obligated even on a mashu. So here we have a series of questions. We pick up the Gemara Velo. Is that so that there's no precedent? Vahrei Megadef. Megadef is one who curses the Almighty. That's speech. And one who does so inadvertently will be obligated to bring a sacrifice. So the Gemara answers that is not a precedent. Medaber v'oyser ko'amrinon. When Rabbi Akiva speaks about Shavuos as being unprecedented, it's a function of speech that results in restriction. V'hai medabir v'choltehu. The case of megadef is speech that is a simple sin, not a speech that results in something becoming prohibited. Question: V'harei nozir. A nozir is someone who speaks. It's a vow, and at the conclusion of his nazirus, he brings sacrifices. And the nazir has restrictions. He cannot consume any wine or vine products. So the Gemara says, no, nazir is not what we had in mind when we said shivuas are unprecedented. Mevi korbono al diburo koamrinon. When we spoke about speech that results in a korban, in a sacrifice, it's that the sacrifice is a direct result of the speech, as is the case in a shivua, the violation of the shivua. Vahai mevi korban nishtrile chamrohu de kolmaisi. In the case of the nozir, it's true that there are sacrifices brought, but the purpose of the sacrifice is to allow the nozir to resume the consumption of chamra, of wine. It's not a sacrifice that comes to atone for the speech, for the violation of whatever was in the speech. Vaharei hekdish. What about something that is sanctified? When you speak, you sanctify an item, and through the sanctification, the item becomes prohibited. So is that not, in fact, medaber v'oser? So why do you say that Shavuos is unprecedented? And in the case of Hekdesh, if you, just like we said, when you speak, you sanctify an item, and then if you violate your speech, namely you use for personal gain that item that you sanctified, you then have to bring a sacrifice. It's called a korban, it's asham mi'ilos. It's a korban for the violation of mi'ilo, the personal benefit of Hekdesh. Personal benefit that is from Hekdesh. The Gemara responds, oiser le'atzmo kuam rinon. When we said in the Mishnah, when Rabbi Kiva says that Shavuos is unprecedented, it's a case of speech which results in a self or personal restriction. V'hai, the case of Hekdesh is not a precedent, because what is Hekdesh? Oyser al kol ha'olam kulohu. When you sanctify something, the item that's sanctified is prohibited to everybody. It's not a personal restriction, as is the case in a Shavua, an oath. Question. Hare koinomos. Koinomos is a situation where one prohibits upon himself in a personal fashion some item paralleling it to a korban. In other words, a person could say koinom kikor ze olai, and the result of that speech, koinom kikor ze olai, is that kikor, that loaf of bread, would be ushered to you personally, not to anyone else. And the thinking right now is that if you go ahead and violate that speech by eating the bread that you just declared as konom, you would have to bring a sacrifice, an osha mi'ilos. The Gemara says, Kosovar, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, ein mi'ilo b'koinomos. There is no mi'ilo violation, and the result, of course, is there is no korban mi'ilo for violating the konom. It's a prohibition to violate what you said, but it doesn't result in the bringing of a sacrifice. So Shavua remains something unprecedented, and hence Rabbi Akiva's argument that for its violation of even a morsel, one is in fact guilty. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a good deal of marking that takes place. On the side, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we try to explain what the purpose of these markings is. You have a house form, and there's a squiggle underline will appear also after each house form. And this highlights the expressions Machloikes and Divrei HaKol. What we see are Gimel Memros, there are three points, three teachings, Shebechol Echod, Mitzamtzimim HaMachloikis Bein Rabbi Kiva V'Chachomim. Mitzamtzimim means we focus or limit the realm of controversy between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachomim Be'inyin Kolshu. They were arguing about the eating of a Kolshu as a violation of the vow, of the oath. L'nesibois Mesiyomis Bovad. In other words, that the machlokis, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Chachamim, is limited to certain particular circumstances. Shnei Meimros Shel Rava, there are two teachings of Rava. You'll see the first numbers 1 and 2 are Rava's teachings. Havyon Simson B'toch HaTchum Shel Shavuos. It's a limitation within the realm of Shavuos. Simson Shel Rabbi Rav Papa, Hainu Shemachloikis Rabbi Kiva V'Chachomen Mugbal L'Shavuos Aval B'Koinomos Divrei HaKol B'Kol Shehu. Rabbi Papa points out an additional point, and that is that the machlokis between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is in the realm of Shavuos. But when it comes to the realm of Konomos, something we just made reference to, in fact, the last diamond that we read was dealing with Konomos, the self-imposed restriction on an item using the word Konom. When you're in that realm, so everyone will agree, even the Chachamim will agree that by eating a mere morsel of Kolshu after having said Konom, you would be in violation. So now the Gemara. Omar Rova, Machloikes, the controversy between Rabbi Kiva and Chachamim, whether or not you're Chayav, whether or not you're guilty on a Kolshu, is Bestam. Avol b'meforesh divrei hakol b'kol shehu. Bistam means you swore in an unqualified fashion. You swore that you are not going to eat something. How much? He didn't say how much. So according to Rabbi Kiva, you'd be in violation even if you eat a morsel. According to the Chachamim, only if you eat a full olive quantity of the substance. However, Meforish, if you swore that you are not going to eat even a morsel of something, then everyone agrees, and that's, you see the squiggle on her, Divrei HaKol, everyone is agreement. Even the Chachamim will agree, B'kol Shehu, my time, oh. What's the logic behind that? Answer, Meforesh Nami Kebriya Domi. When you're Meforesh, when you specify, I'm not going to eat even a morsel, you're making it into a significant entity. We call that a beria, a separate, complete organism. We had beria in our recent shiurim when we referred to the eating of an ant, for example. Even though it's much smaller in size than an olive, nevertheless, it would constitute a violation, according to all opinions, if you eat a complete ant, no matter how small it is. It's a beria. V'yomar Rava, machlokes b'shaloi ochal. The machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is where you use the expression shalo ochal, avo b'shalo et om. If you use that expression, if you translate shalo et om into English, means he swears not to taste the item. Divrei HaKol b'kol shehu, even the Chachamim agree, it is a restriction upon the individual not to eat even a mere morsel. So the controversy is using the expression lo ochal, that I won't eat. But if you say I won't taste, then everyone is in agreement. By eating a morsel, you would be in violation. The Gemara says, Pshita, is that not obvious? The Gemara answers, it's not so obvious. I need Rava to tell me this. Mahu detema. Without Rava, I would have thought, lit'om nami, the expression lit'om also could be understood kid amrienshi, the way people speak in general. When a person says, come over and have a taste of my chocolate cake. They don't mean to give you a crumb of the chocolate. They mean to give you a slice of chocolate cake, which is inevitably going to be an olive quantity in size. So I might have thought that when a person says shalo et om, that I'm not going to taste, it really doesn't mean just a mere morsel. Komash malon, Rava says that in the context of shavuos, if you swear not to taste something, you mean even a mere morsel. Omar Rav Papa, Machloikis b'Shvuos. The controversy between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim is in the realm of Shvuos. Aval b'Kainamos, when you impose upon yourself a restriction using the term Konam, and we've spoken about Konam quite extensively in other contexts. It's a code word. It's like a synonym for the word Korban. But it's a personal restriction. You say konam ki korze alai. You're saying that this loaf of bread or this item or whatever is usur, is prohibited to me. So in that realm, if you say that, as we use the example konam ki korze alai, Divrei HaKol, everyone is in agreement. Even the Chachamim will agree, but kol shehu, that the violation of the konam would be through the consumption of even a mere morsel. My time, oh. Why such severity? Kainomos nami kevan dolo komitkar shmo dachila. When it comes to the realm of konomos, since you're not using the word achila, you're not using the word eating, which has this undertone or implication of an olive quantity in the mind of the Chachamim. So here in konom, you're not using the word ochel or achila. Ke de meforesh domi. It's like the case of Meforesh that we had mentioned before, that everyone agrees, even the Chachamim agree, it is something that can be imposed even on a mere morsel. This, of course, you can see was in our first house marking. We saw that point mentioned. Meisvei. And now we have a question based on a Tanaic source that the Tanaic source is introduced with a firebox, indicating that this source will be the center of our attention for quite a while now in the Gemara. So on the side of the Gemara, you can see under our Mivneh heading, the Meisvei with a firebox Kusha al Rav Papa. We're going to be challenging Rav Papa. Mehamokor, from a source that speaks about Shnei Koinomos Mitztarfin. So we're going to present a Tanaic source that will appear to be a kasha on Rav Papa. Rav Papa said that when it comes to Koinomos, everyone agrees that even a mere morsel would constitute a violation. From the Tanaic source, we're going to seem to... we'll see a Tanaic source that will seem to indicate otherwise. And we will have some more markings afterwards, but let's first see the question. Meisve. Shnei koinomos mitstarfin. Shtei shvuos ein mitstarfin. Ein mitstarfus. If you had, let us say, said konom regarding two separate loaves, they can join together a little of this and a little of that to add up to a kazayas, an olive quantity. However, two loaves that you prohibited through shvua, you swore not to eat loaf number one, and you swore, using the word shvua, loaf number two, they won't join up. They won't join up to complete an olive quantity of bread to result in your violating the oath. Rabbi Meir, Oimer, Koinomos, Kishvuos, according to Rabbi Meir, Koinomos do not join up, just like Shvuos do not join up. V'i Salka Daito Chayav Bekolshu, if you're going to think like Rav Papa, that in the realm of Konom, you would be in violation by eating a mere morsel, Loma Li Litzareif, what is the need for joining up two together to equal what? Even the mere morsel of one is enough to constitute a violation. So that's the question on Rav Papa. You notice we have a new marking, a crown shape, and you'll notice the crown shape appears with a Roman numeral 1, several lines up from the bottom, a second crown with highlighting Ravina, and on the side we indicate the crown is here for, these are gishos, these are approaches, lahashiv ala kusha rapopo, shiksha gmor meabraisa shnei konomos. Two approaches to answer the question. You'll see we also have an alternating direction trapezoid form, or volcano shape, and these are a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth style of the Gemara. The narrow part facing up represents kushos, and the inverted shape indicates chuvos. So we have the question on Rav Papa, who said that koinomos you're chayav for even a kol shehu. The source says koinomos mitstarf, indicating that you need to have them join up to equal an olive quantity. So how do we answer on behalf of Rav Papa? Answer, the Gemara says, the Omar Achilo mizu olai koinom, achilo mizu olai koinom. The achilo word appears, and you know that achilo indicates an olive quantity. So once you insert the word achilo to your koinom, you're removing it from the morsel culpability, and only if you have an olive quantity. Superficially, since you said achila on each regarding each loaf, so a half olive quantity from each one that you would eat would then result in your having eaten a full olive quantity and hence a violation. The Gemara asks, "Ihachi, if this is the case of the source, amay mitstarfos, why is there any joining up? Sof, at the end of the day, zil lahachal leko shira v'zil lahachal leko shira." Regarding each loaf, you said achila. And if you eat only a half an olive quantity from each loaf, so regarding loaf number one, you don't have a violation, and regarding loaf number two, you don't have a violation. So if the text of the vow was achila mizu alai kainam, achila mizu alai kainam, a half olive quantity from each one is not going to join up. The Gemara answers, the Omar, in reality, what did he say? Achila Mishtehen alai koinam. The eating from the two of them is upon me forbidden as a koinam. The Gemara asks, if that's the case, so we have to parallel that language to the Shvua case. The Kavasa Gabi Shvuas Doma, the parallel case by Shvuas would be what? Shvua Shalo Ochal Mishtehem. He swears not to eat from the two of them, from the two loaves. Well, then Amaye Mitzdarfin. If that was the language of his oath, then why is there no tziruf? Why don't we say a half olive quantity of loaf one and a half olive quantity of loaf two join up? Why not? Omar Rav Pinchas. We've dashed underlined his name. We're going to be making reference to this comment of Rav Pinchas later in our shiur, so it's noted now. Omar Rav Pinchas, Shaini Shvuas. Shvuas is different. Mitoch shechalukos lechatois ein mitstarfos. Since in the realm of Shvuas, we find that each loaf would generate a separate violation or in a separate sin offering obligation. Therefore, their separateness prevents them from joining up. Now, this is a short or terse piece of Gemara with a great deal of explanation that figures in the background. In order to appreciate this, we look at the Rashi. Mitoch shechalukos lechatois. Mitoch, notice where Rashi is just a couple lines up from here in the Rashi column. Mitoch sheshtei kikros halolu chashuvos shtayim le'inyin chatos b'shvuazu. Since the two loaves could constitute two separate shvuos regarding the sin offering for its violation, im Omar, if he would have said shvua shelo ochal mizu umizu. If he used that expression, he swears not to eat from this one, nor from that one, and he ate a full olive quantity from loaf number one, and another full olive quantity of bread from loaf number two, in one state of unawareness, that's helem echad. He wasn't aware in the interim of his violation. He's nevertheless chayav shtayim, kedisnan lekamon, as the Mishnah teaches later on, shvuah shelo ochal pas chitin, pas sorin, pas kusmin, viochal, chayav al kol achas viachas. Umaisinu lo b'turis kehanim, and the source for this Mishnah that stated a guy swears he's not going to eat from the wheat bread, nor from the barley bread, nor from the kusmin bread, nor from he enumerates three different types of grains, and he eats from each one. He is chayav a separate violation, and he will have to bring a sin offering for each one. And this is quoted in the Medrash Toras Kahanim Sefer the Sifra on Sefer Vayikra. The pasuk says, "Mivahoyo ki esham laachas meila lechayvo al kol achas vachas v'nomer v'chiyomar nami mizu mizu shtei shvuas chashivi." If he says shvua, he's not going to eat from this one nor from that one. It's considered two separate oaths. Hilko ki ochal mizu chatzi shiur mizu chatzi shiur. Therefore, if he eats a half quantity from each one, since there's this separate element to these loaves, ein mitstarfos, there is no joining up. Avol koinamos ein chalukos lashamos lemad omar yesh meila bekoinamos. With regard to koinamos, we don't find separateness for the which generates a separate sin offering. And Osham is a reference to the Osham Me'ilo, that's the name of the Korban, a guilt offering that's brought for the violation of something that's sanctified. And the Konam is in the realm of sanctification, according to the opinion that says, and we saw this before, this was a machlot, this is a point of controversy, but according to the opinion that says, there is Me'ilo b'Konamos, dinene b'chazer v'nene b'helamechon, chaduhu d'mechayev v'verbrusen, enjoyed personal gain, enjoyed something that was sanctified as a koinom, and he enjoyed, and then joined, and then enjoyed it again, had benefit again from the same item again and again, in one state of lack of awareness, he's chayev only one violation. Kedisnan sir samilos mamruba v'mishnei alomas afilu mechado minayu nami v'chenin in malchus. And Rashi goes on with quite a bit more detail regarding konamos. But for our purposes, Rav Pinchas is making the point that in the realm of Shavuos, the separate loaves would generate a separate violation, hence eating a half quantity from each loaf does not is not able to join up with the other half quantity to constitute a violation. We continue in the Gemara. Ihachi. A question is raised. Rabbi Meir Oimer, Konamos Kishvus. Rabbi Meir says that Konamos are like Shvus, that Konamos also don't join up. Bishlamo Shvus. I understand that Shvus don't join up with one another, meaning a half quantity of loaf one, a half quantity of loaf two. Hayo v'chalukos l'chatois. Because if you eat a full quantity from each loaf, you would have to bring a separate sin offering. They're so separate in nature, so that there's no possibility when you're dealing with half quantities of any joining up. Why would Rabbi Meir say that in the realm of Koinomos there's no joining up? And we saw already in Rashi that Koinomos was different, that even multiple Koinomos in one state of lack of awareness is considered only one violation. So the Gemara answers, Epuch, Rabbi Meir Omer, Shvuos Kekoinomos, Velesle Lederav Pinchas. The way to understand Rabbi Meir is the opposite from what was said before. Rabbi Meir holds Shvuos are like Konomos, that there is Tziruf, there is a joining up, and he doesn't hold from Rabbi Pinchas, he doesn't hold from that teaching. Rabbi Meir doesn't hold from Rabbi Pinchas' idea that Shavuos are chalukos lechatois, that if you had sworn not to eat from loaf one, loaf two, loaf three, according to this approach, if you were to eat a half quantity of loaf one, if you were to eat a full quantity of loaf one and a full quantity of loaf two, they would not constitute a separate, separate shvus. And getting more to our point, if you eat a half quantity of loaf one and a half quantity of loaf two, they would join up just like Konamos, not holding like Rav Pinchas, who advanced the idea of shvuos generates separate chatos. Ravina Omar. Once again, we see a crown marking, and since we got so involved with the last give and take discussion, we have to review what's Ravina coming to do. Rav Papa, as you will recall, said that in the realm of Koinomos, everyone agrees you're oiver, you're in violation even by eating a mere morsel. We saw a Tanaic source introduced with the firebox, which says that by Koinomos, they're mitstaref, to equal a full olive quantity, indicating that there would be no violation at a mere morsel. So that's the problem raised on Rav Papa. Ravina Omar, ki koma Rav Papa, l'inyin Malkis, ki tanyahi l'inyin Korban, deboinon shave pruta. Rav Papa said that Konamos, everyone agrees, would be violated by eating a mere morsel. That's true with regard to the punishment, the court-administered punishment of lashing. The source that spoke about joining up, that is with regard to the need to bring a sacrifice for the violation. A sacrifice, in this case, is called an asha mi'ilos, a korban mi'ilah. And in order to be in violation of mi'ilah, there is a minimum amount, and it's evaluated, the amount is expressed in terms of money value. And that is a shove pruta, the amount of personal pleasure worth a pruta, the minimum type of denomination of money. So there is no contradiction or no problem raised against Rav Papa from the source. The source was dealing with the topic of the minimum amount in order to generate a korban. And Rav Papa was talking about the amount, which is really a kol shehu, to result in the court-administered lashings. The Gemara asks, L'meimra, the Savri Rabbonon Yesh Mi'ila B'Koinamos. Since we're explaining the Tanaic source above, and we're not dealing with Rebbe Meir, we're dealing with the Chachomim, it would then indicate that the Rabbonon hold that for the violation of Konamos, there is Mi'ila. There is Mi'ila, which results in the bringing of a Korban. But do the Rabbonon really hold that? The Ha Tanya. We have a Tanaic source in which you'll see Rebbe Meir and the Chachomim, and by when we get to the end of this Tanaic source, if you want, you can even skim ahead to the top of Omid Bey, second line from the top. You see Lefishein Mi'ila B'Koinamos, and the first word on Omid Bey is the Chachomim. The Chshitas Chachomim is that there is no Mi'ila B'Koinamos. So how can Ravina give this explanation of the source above, where the firebox was, the Shnei Koinamos source, as referring to Tziruf for the purpose of a Shavah Pruta, where you ate a little bit of loaf one, a little bit of loaf two, each time a half a pruta worth of bread, and they join up to a full pruta in value of pleasure. And that was for knowing that the person has to bring a korban for the violation. But the Rabbanan don't hold that there is a mi'ila korban for the konam violation. V'ha Tanya. And as we see in the following source, Kikar Zu Hektish. If a person sanctified a particular loaf, V'ochla, and he ate it, Bein Hu, Bein Chaver, whether the speaker himself ate it or someone else ate it, Mo'al. They're in violation of Mi'ila, L'fikach Yesh La Pidyon. And as a result of it being considered Hektish, which has ramifications for everybody, it also has the possibility of being redeemed by setting aside money, we'll say money equal in value of the item that was sanctified. You can redeem it, transfer the sanctity from the item onto the money. That's pidyon. Kikar zu alai hekdish. If you vowed in this, using this text, and notice we dash on the word alai, that means you imposed upon yourself a personal restriction from the loaf, then hu mo'al, chaveru lo mo'al, if you benefit from it, you're guilty of mi'ila. If your friend benefits from it, it wasn't restricted upon your friend. He's not in violation of mi'ila. Lefikach ein lo pidyon divrei Rebbe Meir. Therefore, there's no redemption, because redemption is stated only for things that are usur to everybody, not something that was made prohibited on a personal level. And the way Rashi says, lo ne'amar pidyon be'isurin, something that is merely prohibited as opposed to something that's sanctified. Something that's merely prohibited, and that's manifest in a case where it's prohibited only to you, not to the next guy. It shows that it's not something that has been sanctified. Redemption is something only for items that have been sanctified. And sanctification results in a prohibition to everybody. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. V'chachomim oimrim bein hu bein chavero lo mo'al. Whether it's a personal type restriction or a general type restriction, there is no mi'ila violation. Why? Lefi she'en mi'ila b'koinamos, because the imposition of sanctity using the konam idea, that would not result in a mi'ila violation. Just to restate this last point in a more accurate fashion, with regard to the chomim, whether it's himself, in the case of kikar zu olai, where you had made the loaf usur only to yourself, as opposed to Rebbe Meir, who says that you would be in violation of mi'ila, the chomim say, whether it's you or your friend, meaning even regarding yourself, there's no mi'ila, because kikar zu olai hekdish, in effect, is a konam. It's a personal korban restriction. Korban meaning the restriction that you intend when you say kikar zu olai hekdish is like making the loaf a korban. But once again, we emphasize it's personal. It's to yourself alone. And therefore, the chachomim hold, even if you benefit from it, you the speaker, you're not in violation. You don't have to bring a korban mi'ila because there is no mi'ila bekoinamos. Anyway, what do we see from here? This is a challenge to the way Ravina presented the matter, presenting the Chachomim as holding that there is mi'ila. So the Gemara answers epoch, switch it around, and read the source as follows. Echod zeh, v'echod zeh lo mu'al, l'fi she'en mi'ila b'koinamos, divrei Rabbi Meir. The opinion that says that there's no mi'ila, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. V'chachomim omrim, hu mu'al, v'chavero lo mu'al. That if you, the one who imposed the personal restriction on the loaf, benefits from it, you do have to bring a korban, because yesh mi'ila b'koinamos. If your friend benefits from it, so he is not in violation of mi'ila. As a result of this switch around, Rabbi Meir then is of the opinion that there's no mi'ila b'koinamos. Ihochi, Rabbi, this is a quote from Omid Aleph. Use the arrow that you see to see what we are referring to back on Omid Aleph. So more I ask, well, Ihachi, Rabbi Meir Oimer, Koinomos Kishvuos. Rabbi Meir had said that Koinomos are like Shvuos, meaning that there's no Tziruf, even in the realm of Koinomos, where you had said regarding loaf number one, Konam Kikozualai, and loaf two, Konam Kikozualai, and you ate a half quantity, a half of Kazayas from each one, they won't join up. So, in reading that statement, you get the following impression. Ela koinomos itzdirufi hu delo mitzdarfi. As far as koinomos are concerned, there's no joining up. Ha me'ila is behu. But a me'ila violation, if you were to eat a full kezias, a full olive quantity from one of the loaves, there would be me'ila. Avoma Rabbi Meir ein me'ila. The Koinomos Club, but we just stated in the epoch that Rabbi Meir holds there's no mi'ila whatsoever, even if you're not resorting to tziruf. There's simply no mi'ila. The Gemara answers, L'divrayim derabonon ka'omar lahu. We have to understand Rabbi Meir not as reflecting his own opinion, but rather as a reaction to the Rabbanan. L'didi ein mi'ila b'koinomos klal. As far as my own opinion is concerned, as said above, the third line from the top after the epoch, there is no mi'ila in koinomos. The comment of Rabbi Meir that koinomos u'kishvuos is Rabbi Meir reacting to the Rabbanan, not reflecting his own opinion. L'didchu, according to you, Rabbanan, odu lumihas, de koinomos kishvuos, that koinomos should be like shvuos, that there is no tziruf. The Rabbanan react to that. Why is it that the Rabbanan hold that in the realm of shvuos there is no tziruf, but in the realm of koinomos there is tziruf? So the Rabbanan explain, shvuos ikar derav Pinchas. With regard to shvuos, you have the Rav Pinchas consideration. You remember the concept of chalukos lechatos, that in the realm of shvuos, if you said shvuos shelo ochal mi kikarzu, that would generate a separate korban chatos, the concept of separateness regarding sin offerings. That separateness element prevents the joining up when you have a half quantity from each loaf. Koinomos like the Rav Pinchas. But with regard to koinomos, you don't have the Rav Pinchas guideline. And hence, there is the joining up of partial quantities of separate loaves that were prohibited through konam. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. The Gemara says, Omar Rava, Shvua Shelo Ochal. Person vowed not to eat. V'ochal Ofar, Potter. And he then ate dirt. He is exempt. It's not considered a violation. The analysis would be that when you say that you're not going to eat, your intention was you're not going to eat something that's fit to eat, something that's of a food nature. Dirt is not included, therefore you're not in violation of the vow. The triangle that you see now is explained on the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading. Sidra Shel She'elois Levarer Bekamo. A series of questions that is dealing with the issue of quantities. Mao Shir Achilo Shelvor Misuyomim She'enem Oichel Gomer. What is the quantity of eating of items that are not full-fledged food? What do we mean by that? Number one, ofar, dirt. Number two, hartzanim, grape seeds. The double underline that you see that will appear highlights the word teku, which is the end of follows the end of two of the questions where there is simply no conclusion that is reached. The first two triangles are questions that you'll see Rava asks. The third triangle is a question that Ravashi raises. Boy Rava, Shvua Shelo Ochal Ofar. Here he swears explicitly not to eat Ofar. Bekama, how much would he have to eat in order to be in violation of that vow? Two sides of analysis. We call this the Aleph Oy Dilma Beis structure. Aleph, the first side of the analysis, cave on the Omar Shelo Ochal, since he used the word Achila in his oath, he has in mind an olive quantity. Oy dilma, kevon delav midi de'achli inchiu, since it's an item that people don't eat. So the standard quantity that governs eating is not relevant here. Therefore, bekom shehu, violation might be even eating a grain of dirt. Teku, this question remains unresolved. Boy Rava, Shvua Shelo Ochal Chartzon Bekama. Person vows, or he swears not to eat a Chartzon. Chartzon is grape seeds. Bekama. How much grape seeds would he have to eat in order to be in violation of this oath? Kevon de Misakel Yadei Tarovas Daitekazai, since grape seeds are eaten together with grapes. An interesting observation. Let's just make the assumption that that people, when eating grapes, they don't remove the seeds. Some people might remove the seeds, but the common practice, at least in the eyes of the Gemara, is that people would eat grapes with the seeds. So since they're eaten together, taruvus means mixed together with the grapes, so his mind, when he says shlosh lochal chartzon, he's referring to the olive quantity, which is the quantity that's associated with eating. Oy dilmo kevan delo be'enei achli le'inshi. On the other hand, since people don't eat grape seeds on their own, be'ene means separate or not part of something else. Daite amashu, when he vowed not to eat them, his mind is even on a mere morsel of it. Teku, remains unresolved. Boy Ravashi, nozir shomar, shvua shelo ochal chartzon, bekamo. A nozir who swears not to eat chartzon. Chartzon is a grape seed, and a nozir, just be aware, is prohibited from eating vine products. So he swears not to eat a chartzon. What is the quantity that would constitute his violation of that vow? De kevon de kezayas isura de raisahu, since a chartzon, grape seeds that would equal an olive quantity, that is prohibited from the Torah, already prohibited for someone who accepted Nazirus upon himself. And regarding a full quantity, that is something that he's prohibited from anyway, even without his vow. That's called Mushpa V'Oimed Mehar Sinai. That's an expression we've used often in the past. He's already, we call it pre-bound, pre-restricted. Ki ko mishtaba, when he is vowing, when he's taking an oath not to eat chartzon, ahetero ko mishtaba v'daita mashu. His mindset must have been on something that for the nazir would have been allowed, meaning would have been a non-violation. And what's that? A mashu. As long as it's less than a kezayis, so it's not a nazir violation. Oh, so it's not a nazir violation, there's room for his vow to take hold. Therefore, according to this side of the analysis, he would be guilty violating the vow for eating a mere morsel. Oy dilma, kevan diomar shelo ochal. On the other hand, since he used the language of achila in his vow, daitei akazayas, his mind is on an olive quantity. And in this case, there would be no shvuah, there would be no oath, because he was already prohibited from the olive quantity of grape seed through his nazirus, and he's mushbuv as he is mushbuv v'yoyimei mahar Sinai. Toshma. So to answer this question, we have the following response. Notice we have a long marking. Shvuah shelo ochal. A person vowed not to eat. The ochal nevelus itreifus shkotzim rumosim chayov. Rabbi Shimon Poter. Person vowed not to eat all these, not to eat. That was his vow. And in reality, in practice, what did he do? He then ate these different prohibited items. Nevelus and treifus, unslaughtered meat, or meat that's a treifa, that's from an animal that is has a organ or physical defect, rendering it prohibited. Shkatz or Mosim, also other unclean animals, unclean meaning forbidden from the Torah, different kinds of creatures. And the Tanakhama says, if you ate them, you're in violation of your Shvua, which was not to eat. Rabbi Shimon exempts him. Vavino bo'amai chayav. Why, according to the Tanakhama, the first opinion, is he considered in violation? Mushba v'yomahar Sinaihu. He's already pre-restricted from the giving of the Torah. And once you're already shvua bound by the Torah not to eat it, there's no room for your shvua to take hold. We have a small bracketed section. We'll skip the brackets momentarily. And if you just scan ahead in the Gemara, we have a number of sections that are bracketed. It would make it much easier for us simply to skip each bracketed section, enabling us to focus on the main problem here. So we do so. We ask, how then can we understand the Tanakhama, who said that by eating the Velus and Trevis, eating forbidden things, you would be in violation of the Shvua, when you're pre-bound from eating those things, pre-restricted anyway? So we skipped three lines. Reish Lakish Omar, I ata motze, elo b'meforesh chatzi shir v'liba d'rabbanan. You won't have this shvua getting off the ground unless you specified in your vow. You said shvua shelo ochal chatzi shiur. And that would be in accordance with the Rabbanan, where he swore not to eat a chatzi shir of nevela. So that in order to have a person violating his vow of not eating, and the violation is through the eating of these forbidden things, you would have had to state in your vow that you swear not to eat a chatzi chatzi zayas, a half quantity of nevela. That's meforish, where you specify a chatzi shiur of the forbidden substance. The aliba d'rabbanan, that would be in accordance with Rabbanan, who hold that when you use the word achila, if you don't specify a half quantity, achila means a kazayas, a full quantity. So in order to be in violation of the vow through the eating of these prohibited things, you would have had to have vowed that I'm not going to eat a half zayas of nevela, for example. Again, skipping three lines. V'ha nevela demushba v'oymeid mehar sinaihu. The case of nevela, you're dealing with something that's pre-restricted from Sinai. There's an iser achila on that. It's something that we can parallel to the grape seed vis-a-vis a nozir, which is also forbidden in eating. V'taymo deporish. Why, according to the Chachomim, does the Shvua get off the ground. Why is it Ishvu that he could be in violation of? Because he specified, he was nishba, not to eat even a kol shehu of it. Ha lo porish, had he not specified the chatzi shiur, daite akizayis shma mina. We see then that a person's mindset without the specification of chatzi shiur is on a complete shiur. And if you then use that analysis and plug it back into our original question, the answer would be like possibility number two. Since you use the word lo ochal, his mind is on a kezias. Therefore, a nozir that said that he swears not to eat chatzon, and he didn't specify, I'm not going to eat a half zayas of chatzon. He simply said, I'm not going to eat chatzon, without specifying the chatzi shiur, he would not be in violation of the shvua. Why? Because by saying shvua shelo ochal, you intend for a full kezias, and the nazir is pre-restricted from the point he accepted the nazirus on him, leaving no room for the shvua to get off the ground, and therefore he won't be in violation of the shvua for eating. For eating the kezias of chatzon. And as we explained, his shvua was exactly that, not to eat, by saying shelo ochal, not to eat a kezias, and that amount he was pre-restricted from anyway. Therefore, as we said, the shvua would not get started. There was quite a bit of skipping that we did in the Gemara up till this point, and now we have to go back over the Gemara reading also all the skipped portions. But I hope that you realize through using the brackets we were able to get to the main point rather quickly and with a high degree of clarity and not getting sidetracked. So now we go back over the Gemara, beginning of the Toshma. Just to review the reason that we're reading this Toshma is a person vowed, a nozir vowed not to eat a shelo ochal chatzon. How much would be the amount that he intended in his vow? Toshma shvua shelo ochal. Why does the Tanakhama hold that he's in violation? He's already pre-restricted in eating the veils and trefas from the giving of the Torah, leaving no room for his shvua to take hold. Rav Ushmuel v'Rabbi Yochanan di Amri, they say, you want to know how the shvua operates, how he is considered in violation by eating the velus, they all say bekoilil dvorim hamutorim im dvorim haasurim. He vowed initially not to eat ice cream and bread and cheese and nevelos and trefos. And the concept of kolel means including, and he included in his vow things that are allowed, and this enables us to say as follows, according to this approach, that since the shvua, and in Hebrew the word is migul, since the vow takes hold regarding the dvorma mutorim, the allowed food substances, the ice cream and the cheese and the bread, so the dvorma surim also become bound by the oath, because in the same, under the heading of that very oath, he had items that the oath could take hold upon. Therefore, the oath takes hold upon the Dvarim Asurim as well. And therefore, when he eats Nevelus and Trefus, he is in violation of that oath. For Reish Lakish Amar I Ata Moitse, you won't find the Shvua getting off the ground vis-a-vis the Nevelus and Trefus, Eloi b'meforesh chatzi shiur v'aliba d'rabbanan, where you had specifically said, I swears not to eat a half shiur of Nevelus and Trefus. That would be according to the Chomim, I b'stam v'aliba d'Rabbi Akiva, or he swore not to eat nevelus and treifus. Diomar adam oiser atzmo bekolshehu. That even though you use the word ochal, ochal does not, in Rabbi Akiva's mind, limit me to the idea or the quantity of an olive, but even a kolshehu, even a morsel of it. V'ha nevela de mushba v'yoyme mehar sinaihu de chichartzen legabi nozir damya. The nevela to everybody is like the chartzen to the nozir. We can parallel the two. And according to the Rabbonon, as Reish Lakish explained things, how did the vow take hold? V'taima de porish. Only because he explicitly said a chatzi shiur, he swears not to eat a chatzi shiur of nevela. That enabled the vow to take hold. And hence the eating of nevela would be a violation of his vow. Holo porish, had he not specified in his vow a chatzi shiur, if he simply would have said shvush shelo ochal nevelos, daite akazayas, his mind is on a full olive quantity. And regarding that, the Shvuah would not get off the ground, because on a full olive quantity, he's already pre-restricted from the time the Jewish people accepted the Torah. He's Mushba V'yoymei Mehar Sinai. Shma Mino. So this would be a conclusive response to Rav Ashi's question. Therefore, in the question there, the Nozir swore not to eat a Chatzin. He didn't indicate not to eat a Chatzin Zayas of Chatzin. Therefore, his mind, without having specified a chatzi zayas, his mind is on a full zayas. And since the nozir is pre-restricted anyway, before he vowed, he's restricted from eating a full kezayas of chatzon, he is not in violation of his vow when he eats any quantity of chatzon. If he eats less than a zayas, so that wasn't part of his vow. If he eats a full zayas, he was already pre-restricted anyway as a nazir. So as far as a shavua violation, there would be no violation. Well, with this information in mind, that when you use the term shelo ochal, without specifying a chatzi shiur, the mere mention of lo ochal means a full olive quantity of whatever. Well, elo tifsho deboy rova. Can we not now resolve a question that Rava raised? Shvua shelo ochal ofar bekama. Rava asked this question. This, in fact, we saw in our first triangle above. So why can't we now answer his question? Tifsho. Since he said in his vow, Shelo Ochal Ofar, let us conclude Da'ati Iko Kazayas. Until you would eat a Kazayas, a full olive quantity of dirt. Until that point, you would not be in violation of the vow. Da'a Nevela Ki Ofar Damyo. In the previous discussion, we mentioned the eating of Nevela, resulting, according to the Tanakamas, according to the Chumim, as a violation of the vow. Well, nevela is prohibited, something you don't eat. It's like offer in that sense. It's like dirt. The time of the porush. The reason that there was a shvua violation is because, as Reish Lakish explained earlier, he specifically said a chatzi shiur. Ha lo porush. Had he not specified the half quantity, baite akazayas. His mind was on a full olive quantity. So we see from this that a person who swears shvuah shelo ochal without specifying how much, his mind is on a kazayas. So the question here is, why did Rava even ask his question? Rava above asked shvuah shelo ochal ofar. But from this analysis that we saw in the long Toshma, there's no room for the question. It's obvious that, but without specifying a chatzi shiur, your mind is on a full olive quantity. So why was Rav even asking this question? The Gemara says, loy, the assumption that we made just now, that nevela is like ofar, that's wrong. Ofar lav bar achila hu klal. Dirt is something that's not edible whatsoever. No human being eats dirt. Nevela, that's different. Basachila, it's something that is food. It's something that human beings can eat. Jews don't eat it by virtue of, we'll say, the Torah law. But it's something that's edible. And the way the Gemara describes such a situation is, Va'ar Yehudi Revi Ale. There's a lion that's lying on the nevela. It's, of course, figurative. You know, so you don't have access to the nevela, not because it inherently is not food. You don't have access to it because the halacha is restricting you from it. And in the analogy, the halacha is compared to the lion. The lion that's lying there doesn't enable you to have access to it. Likewise, the halacha that rests upon nevela doesn't allow you to have access to it. So that when you say shelo ochal, without qualifying chatzishir in the case of something that's basachila, your mind is on a full kezias. However, when you say shelo ochal ofar, something that's not basachila at all, something that's not edible to anybody, it could be that your mind is in fact even on a mere morsel, on a grain of dirt. And that's what Rava's question was, and it remains unresolved. As you see, we have a new Mishnah in which you see a number of diamonds. On the side, under the Mivneh heading, the diamond introduces Sidra Shel Shvuos Shonos, a series of different types of oaths. The Mishnah, Shvuos Shelo Ochal. Person vowed not to eat. V'ochal v'shosa, he ate and he drank. Eino chayav elo achas. He is in violation only of one offense. So that the fact that he ate and drank, of course, all in one state of lack of awareness, does not generate multiple offenses. And we speak about chayev, we're of course referring to the need to bring a sacrifice when he discovers that he violated the vow. Shvua shelo ochal v'shelo eshte. He swears not to eat and not to drink. Here he specified eating and drinking. V'ochal v'shosa, if he ate and drank, chayav shtayim, that's considered two separate oaths. Shvua shelo ochal, v'ochal pas chitin upas seru pas kusmin, eino chayav elo achas. He swore not to eat, and he went ahead and ate three different types of breads, different types of grains that from which these different breads were made. He is in violation of one vow. Shvua shelo ochal, and here in his oath he specifies not to eat pas chitin upas sorum pas kusmin. V'ochal, and he went ahead and ate pas chitin bread and sorum bread and kusmin bread, three different types of grains. Chayav al kol achas v'achas. Since in the initial oath he specified the types of breads he was not going to eat, each type constitutes a separate vow. Shvua shelo eshte. And now we present a similar scenario as we had above regarding eating, but this time regarding drinking. So he vows not to drink. Vishosa mashkin harbe. And he drinks many different types of beverages. Eino chayov elo achas. Shvua shelo eshte yayin v'shemen utvash. Here he swears not to drink, and he specifies different beverages. V'shosa, and he drinks each one of these different beverages. Chayav al kol achas v'achas. He is guilty of a separate shvua violation regarding each type of beverage. Shvua shelo ochal. V'ochal oichlum shenen ruim lachila. V'shosa mashkin shenen ruim lishtia. Here he swore not to eat, and he consumed food that's not fit for consumption. He consumed drink that's not fit for drinking. Potter. Shvua shelo ochal. V'ochal nevelus etreifus shkotsu remosim chayav. Here he swore not to eat, and he ate forbidden foods. This is in contrast to the line before, foods that are not fit for eating. Here he ate forbidden foods. The Tanakhama says, Chayav Reb Shimon Poter. Reb Shimon exempts on the grounds that he's Mushba V'Oymed Mehar Sinai. He's already pre-restricted from the giving of the Torah. we'll need to explain why the Chachamim would say that he is in violation. Of course, this discussion we just saw before. Omar, koinim ishtinenes li imochalti hayom. Person vows that his he will not benefit from his wife if he ate today. The who ochal nevelus treifish gotsu masim, and he happened to have eaten these forbidden foods. Hare ishto asura, he cannot benefit from his wife. So that the expression of im ochalti hayom will include his having eaten these forbidden foods. Each section of this Mishnah needs some further clarification, and of course we'll get to that as we go through the Gemara. The topic heading that we've noted on the side, the Nosei, Shtiyo Bechlal Achila. The issue that we'll discuss at some length is the idea that drinking is subsumed under the heading with the category of eating. Omar Reb Chiyo Bar Oven Omar Shmuel. Shvua Shelo Ochal. Person vowed not to eat. And then in reality, Vishasa, he drank something. Chayav, he violated his oath. Iboy Seima Svara, Iboy Seima Kra. If you like, I can give you a logical explanation. If you like, I can give you a scriptural point. Iboy Seima Svara, the Omar Lei Inish Lechavre. Look how you can evaluate this simply by the way people converse with one another. Someone says to his friend, Nitomidi, come taste something. V'ayli, v'achli v'shasu. And they go in, and they eat, and they drink. So upon being offered gum, come taste something, drinking is included. So that when he swore not to eat, and he then drank something, that's the oath not to eat includes not to drink. V'iboy yisema kro, shtia b'chlal achila. And the second approach is that from psukim we can prove that drinking is included within eating. D'yomer Reish Lakish, minayin l'shtia shi b'chlal achila. Reish Lakish says, from where do we know that drinking is included within eating? And the Gemara goes on to present a pasuk. And in truth, this is the beginning of a long discussion that will continue down a good part of Daf Chof Gimel Omen Aleph. So even though we're in the context of a Daf Yomi presentation, realize that we're now going to spill over. And if you like the pun there about spilling, which is reference to liquids and drinks, then all the better. So Reish Lakish tells us that achila is bichlal shtia, and we can see this from a pasuk. We're not going to be proving this so quickly, and you can see that we have a house shape under the mivne heading on the side, mekoros lomar, scriptural sources to suggest the shtia bichlal achila. So it's not going to be so quick. Let's get on with the show. Shinemar, the pasuk says, "V'yochaltu lefnei Hashem Elokecha b'mokam Hashem Yibchar l'shakein shmo yisham maaser degoncha v'tiroshcha." The pasuk is a reference to the eating of Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. You'll eat in front of Hashem in His chosen place. A reference to eating within Jerusalem. The maaser, the tithe, the 10% of your grains and your tiroshcha. We continue at the top of Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. The Tirosh Chamrahu. The word Tirosh is taken to mean wine, uksiv, and in the Pasuk you saw the word V'ochalta. That was the first word on the last line of Chof Beis Amud Beis. V'ochalta. Eating. So, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni? By a chalta of tirosh. What does that mean then? It's the drinking of the wine is included in the fulfillment of your chalta of eating. In simple terms, shtiya bichlal achila. The Gemara says, I'm not convinced, vidilma, al yadei anigron. Maybe the reference to wine here is not a drinking of a cup of wine, but it's actually eating of a food in which wine is mixed in. And that food into which you mix wine is called anigron. Dioma rabo bar shmuel, anigron, mayo de silki. Rabo says that anigron is a dish made of cooked silky, selek or treidin. Ach sigron, another kind of food, mayo de kulu shilki. It's cooked vegetables, all kinds of cooked vegetables. And what you're supposed to understand here is that when you that the way of preparing a nigron, as Rashi says on the second line from the top, v'regilin loseis l'seichan yain, it was customary, it was a regular practice of adding to these foods, the anigron and the achasigron, to add wine. So when the pasuk says v'yachat lifnei Hashem elokecha, etc., and tirosh, yeah, it means real eating, not drinking. It's eating of these foodstuffs into which wine is mixed. So where do we see from Psukim that shtia b'chlal achila? Elo omar avacho bar yankov mehocha, the second house marking. V'nosato ha-kesef ha-b'chol ha-shir tavin afshecho ba-boker uva-tzon uva-yayin uva-shechor. The Pasuk goes on to say, we have it quoted on the side of our marked Gemaras, ובכל אשר תשאל לך נפשך, ואכלת שם לפני השם אלוקך, ושמחת אתה וביתך. So again, it's a reference to the eating of the tithes, and amongst the different points, and we see in this pasuk, you can see that by having read the continuation of the pasuk, it says v'yachalta sham, and what is included in the v'yachalta? It says in the pasuk yayin chamrahu. The double underline that you see here are explained on the side. Shlovin levar ech roim in a pasuk v'nasata kesef d'shtiyah b'chalachila. How do you see the shtiyah b'chalachila? So stage one, yayin chamrahu. Yayin is wine. Uksiv v'ochalta. And in the pasuk we read, you saw the word achila. The Gemara tries to reject this as vidilma hochinami al yidei anigron. This isn't conclusive that drinking is a subcategory of eating. The yayin in this pasuk is wine added to anigron, to that dish. The Gemara says, no, you can't say that here. Shechar ksiv. Shechar is midi de meshaker. Shechar means something that's intoxicating. Wine that you drink is intoxicating. Eating anigron is not intoxicating. So yayin in the pasuk means drinking wine, and it's under the category of a vechata. No, that's not convincing. V'dilma develo ke'ilis. Maybe the pasuk that says shechar, it says yayin and shechar. You know what? Yayin is in fact the anigron. The shechar is a reference to not wine. It's a reference to a food, a solid food that is intoxicating. Develo ke'ilis. Develo ke'ilis is a type of fig. From Kielis. Desanya ochal vela Kielis v'shosa dvash v'cholov v'nichnas l'mikdash v'ovad chayav. This is a Tanaic source in which the vela Kielis is mentioned. The source deals with the prohibition of serving on the part of a kohen in the Beis Hamikdash while intoxicated. And it says that if one eats devela ke'ilis and drinks honey and milk, and then goes and serves, he is in violation of the prohibition of working in the Beis Hamikdash while intoxicated. What do we see from here? From this source, we see that devela ke'ilis creates a state of inebriation, of intoxication. So that from the pasuk we read, yayin and shechar, I don't see any conclusive proof that the wine spoken about is drinking of wine, and just because of the word shechar, That refers to some food that's intoxicating as far as we're concerned. So how do we see in this pasuk that Rav Acher bar Yaakov quoted that shtia is bechlal achila? Stage 3. Ela, gomar, shechor shechor minozir. We learn it scripturally through a gzeira shava, through comparing the words shechor that you see in the pasuk Dvarim Yudalit pasuk Chavav that Rav Acher quoted, and the word shechor that you find in the case of a nozir. Ma lahalan yayin, just like in the case of the nozir. The nozir is restricted from wine, and afkan, so too in the pasuk dealing with Meiser Sheni, the Dvarim Perek Yudalit pasuk Chavav, yayin, it means wine. A nozir is not restricted from eating intoxicating figs. So that the shechar has to be a reference to wine. And therefore, you see from that pasuk, since it used the word v'achalta, you see shtia is bechlal achila. Omar Rava, af anan nami tanina. Notice we have a long point. On the side, we have a topic heading, Nisayon Sharava Lochiach Meha Mishnah Mashma Dishtiya Bechalchia. We're going to try to show from the Mishnah that we read that Shtiya is a subcategory of Achila. So that it's not only something that that we would say is Amoraic in nature, but even from the Mishnah, you see this idea. Up till this point, it had been presented by the Gemara. But here you can see a hint to this even in the Mishnah. Where do you see this? Our Mishnah said, Shmu shelo ochal. The ochal v'shosa, eino chayov elo achas. Person vowed not to eat, and the Mishnah tells us that the fellow went ahead and ate and drank. He's in violation only of one oath. E amris bishlamo shtiyo bichlal achila. If you say, as we have maintained, that drinking is a subcategory of eating, it's derichle latane lashmeinen di eino chayov elo achas. There is value in the Tana telling us that for eating and drinking, he is in violation only of one offense. Elohi amrishtiyo lav b'chal achila. If you're going to say that shtiyo is an unrelated category, an unrelated concept to eating, imagine someone said shvur shelo ochal. He swears not to eat. V'yochal v'yosu malocha. He ate and he did some constructive activity. Would you need the Tana to tell me that for eating and then sewing a garment that he's in violation of only one offense? It's obvious. Asiyas Malacha wasn't alluded to in his oath. Therefore, from the fact that the Mishnah has to tell us that someone who ate and drank is chayav only one, it shows us that drinking is really part of eating. And as we said, the Mishnah is telling me not to think that he's in violation of two oaths. You can see that we have a crown marking on the side under the Mivneh heading. This introduces a give and take discussion we call the Amakav. The crown with the point facing up, the points facing up are Kushyas Abaye al Divrei Rava, Abaye challenging Rava, and the inverted shape indicates a response to Tshuvos. Omar le Abaye, Elomai shtiyo bechlal achila. So Abaye asks Rava, according to what you're telling us, shtiyo, drinking, is a subcategory of eating. Emo seifo, continue in our Mishnah, let's see if things check out. It says in the Mishnah, shvua shelo ochal v'shelo yeshte. V'ochal v'shosa chayav shtayim. He swore not to eat, not to drink. He ate and drank. He's in violation of two separate oaths. However, there's a problem here. Kevon di Omar shelo ochal. Once you swore not to eat, it's alei b'shtiyah. according to what you're saying, that shtia is bechal achila, by saying you're not going to eat, you're really restricting yourself through a vow not to eat nor to drink. Ki omar shelo eshte, when he continues in his vow saying, I'm not going to drink, amai chayav, why does that vow take hold? Why is he in violation of a second vow? Inu omar shelo eshte tre zimni, mi mechayav tarti. If a person would say, I'm not going to drink, he swears, not going to drink, swears, not going to drink. Are there two oaths here? Not so. Once you swore not to drink, you're now bound. You're now restricted by virtue of a shvua not to drink. You're basically, like we've said before, you're mushbov yoimei mehar Sinai. You're already pre-restricted by the first oath in not drinking. There's no room for the second oath to take hold. So just like saying shelo eshte twice, there's no room for the second shelo eshte vow to take hold. Once you said shelo ochal, and shelo ochal includes drinking, there's no room for the shelo eshte vow to take hold. So then why does the Mishnah say that if you vowed shelo ochal shelo eshte, and he eats and he drinks, he is chayev shtayim? Omar lei, Rava answers, Hosam the Omar shelo eshte, the Hodar Omar shelo ochal. In the Mishnah, what really happened in terms of order of things, he first said he swears not to drink, and then he swore not to eat. The shtia bechlal achila isa, achila bechlal shtia lesa. It's true that drinking is a subcategory of eating, but eating is not a subcategory of drinking. Being that eating is not a subcategory of drinking, by swearing first not to drink, that's an oath that restricts you from beverages. But when you went on to say, you continued saying shelo ochal, that includes solid foods. So there's room for the two oaths to take hold. Therefore, when you in fact eat and drink, you're in violation of those two oaths. The Gemara asks, you're then leaving room, if you're going to say what you just said, then if a person would have said, and they would then eat and drink, what would the rule be? What would the result be? He's then in violation of only one, because by having opened with shelo ochal, you're already restricting yourself from drinking, therefore there's no room for the second oath of shelo eshte to take hold. Ihachi, if that be the case, aditoni resha, instead of the Mishnah at the beginning telling us shvua shelo ochal, we vow simply not to eat, the ochal v'shosa eino chayav elo achas, and there he eats and drinks, he's chayav only one violation. You could have told me a bigger chiddush. You could have told me one point from which I could have figured out other points. Listening, let the Mishnah have taught shvua shelo ochal v'shelo eshte ein ochayav elo achas. A person vowed what sounded like two separate oaths, not to eat and not to drink. If he then eats and drinks, he's chayav only one. V'kol shekein shelo ochal l'chudei, and all the more so if all his initial vow was not to eat. He only made one vow, and he then eats and drinks. Of course he's going to be chayav only one. So if the Mishnah, if the answer that Rava had given is correct, that it all depends on the order, there would have been no need for the Mishnah, or it would have been better for the Mishnah to teach me a bigger chiddush. Namely, if you want to teach me about Eino Chayav Elo Achas, you should have taught me the case of his making two vows, which is really only one. Elo li'oilom ke de kotoni. So this new approach is, don't switch the order. Rather, as the Mishnah taught, namely, he swore not to eat and then not to drink, And I will tell you that in general, shtiyah is bichlal achila, that drinking is a subcategory of eating. The question then is, if it's a subcategory of eating, then why is a person who swore not to eat, not to drink, and he eats and drinks chayav too? V'shayni hocha. Here it's different. Kevon diomar shelo ochal. V'hodar omar shelo eshteh. Here's someone that said he swears not to eat, and then he specifically said shelo eshteh, I'm not going to drink. Goli adaita, he reveals to us the hachachila d'omar, his first stage of oath of shelo ochal, achila great sahi. In this case, his achila means only solid foods. So that the Mishnah represents a case that's not the norm. The norm is that if you say shelo ochal without specifying any additional comments regarding shtiyah, shtiyah is included in the shelo ochal. And that, by the way, is how we understood the beginning of the Mishnah, where he swore not to shelo ochal without any additional comments. He ate and drank. It's only one violation, because shtiyah is bechal achila. However, if he specifies shelo ochal and v'shelo eshteh, in that case, the shtiyah in this person's mind is not bechal achila, and the shelo eshteh vow stands as a separate entity. And then, therefore, when he eats and drinks, he's in violation of two. Omar Rav Ashi, Masnisen Nami Daika. The Mishnah is, in fact, by careful reading of the Mishnah, you see that shtiyah is bichlal achila. What did the Mishnah teach? This is a quote from our Mishnah. Shvur shelo ochal, v'yochal oichlin shein ruyim l'achila v'shosa mashkin shein ruyim l'shtiyah poter. A person swore not to eat. And what did he go? What did he do? He ate foods that aren't fit for eating. He drank beverages that are not fit for drinking. Well, there he's exempt. Poter. That's not a violation of his vow. Ha ruyin chayov. However, had he drunk beverages that are fit for drinking, he is, yes, in violation of the vow. Ava mai hoshvu shelo ochal komar. Why is he in violation? All he said was shelo ochal. So you see from here that the shelo ochal includes the drinking. Of course, drinking of beverages that are fit for drinking. In simple terms, shtia bichlal achila. And as Rav Ashi said, the Mishnah then is meduyak, is careful and exact in bearing out this idea of shtiyah b'chal achila. The Gemara rejects this. Dilma di Omar Tarti. Regarding this last section of the Mishnah, maybe in reality he had said shvua shelo ochal, shvua shelo eshteh. It's true that we don't see that in the text, but the Mishnayos are at times abbreviated, and therefore you can't prove from this section of the Mishnah that shtiyah is bechal achila. And the basis of our inference of had he drunk mashkin the ruyin the shtiyah, he would have been in violation. That's because he specified shelo eshteh. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you are interested in accessing marked Gemaras, you can reach us at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.